Welcome, welcome back to the We Don't Know Sports Podcast. This is Chad the Mark with
Greg freaking Raleigh
and
Biggie.
All right, we're back to Biggie. See, Mr. Brown is no more. Canadian Biggie died, but then Canadian Biggie came back last week while Greg was out getting a Iron Man procedure.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it all done now. Sorry, I took my thing there.
You got to turn the microphone on, pal. So you're Iron Man
dude. Yeah, I'm trying to do that, and it's right there in my chest, and I'm trying to get it all taken care of before, you know, at a young age, I'll just...
How you feeling now?
Weekend, I'm sore, but it's getting better every day.
All right, so new sleep apnea procedure.
That's 3 weeks till I figure out if it works or not. So we got to turn on the battery and light my nerves on fire.
Well, that like mess you up if you go through an airport x-ray?
Maybe.
they're gonna be like, he's wearing a bomb.
That'd be amazing. that'd be a cool way to go out.
Don't joke about that, though. No, you don't want the TSA agents to be the ones.
I'm just saying, that's like stuff you could be in a movie or something. With that stuff.
Only if the FBI show up. If it's the TSA, that's embarrassing. Yeah. Have you seen some of the TSA agents?
No, I'm trying not to.
They're just, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. They're not intimidating. It's like the DMV getting a hold of you.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Yeah. Get it. Usually they get you by being tedious. You know, the DMV.
They bore you to death.
Yes. Yes.
They probably wish they had a stun gun at the DMV with the people they have to deal with. That's why more of it went online. Wait, oh, yeah.
So you're excusing the DMV employees' behavior.
Yes.
He's team DMV.
Yep.
I think it's a short list on that roster, pal.
Anyways.
I'm with the DMV all the way.
You can't always defend things that are undefendable, but the big thing, we got a couple things going on. We got March Madness going on in the background, but I think the biggest news is baseball season started, and I got a gripe about something there. But before we got to get the elephant in the room out of the way. But what is your take, Greg? You are into baseball more than anybody I know. What's going on with the Shohei Ohtani situation? What's your take? I know that all the facts haven't come out yet, but just your early take. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's been a crazy few days. I probably haven't read as much as you. I've just read the articles and conversed back and forth.
But you hear from, I'm sure a lot of people are telling you.
My point is that, you know, until we hear otherwise, his interpreter stole $4.5 million from Shohei and went gambling. We don't know what the details are. We don't know if Shohei had any wrongdoings. So I guess my problem is, and people's already trying to crucify the man and put him right there with Pete Rose. Let's wait for the facts to come out. And if he's guilty, but we don't know if he bet on baseball or anything. We don't know that yet.
If he didn't bet on baseball, who cares?
Yeah.
Let him bet on midget wrestling.
Well, they're allowed football, to.
That's the thing.
Yeah, there's no MLB rule against it.
I mean, but the thing is, like, first of all, it's the interpreter. That's the first thing. And then secondly, what sports did he, you know, bet on whatever. But I mean, there's a lot of layers to this before people's already trying to crucify him.
I'll say this. If I wanted to bet and not have to take the fall for it, I would also say it was my interpreter. I read where he put $4.5 million in his interpreter's account or paid directly. And on the $4.5 million, it says loan and it went to a bookie. And that's how they found out, because this bookie's under investigation. So I can see where people, if they wanted to insinuate something bad, would say, you're not paying $4.5 million for somebody else to gamble.
It doesn't look good, though.
No. But like, again, do I care? No, he smashes a baseball.
You wouldn't care if he was betting on baseball?
I could give a shit less.
Really?
See, I don't care what any of these guys bet on.
First of all, I don't believe anything Biggie just said.
Secondly, I don't want to allow that yet.
Secondly, even if he bet on baseball and he was the fucking MVP last year for the AL, how much did he really shave?
The only thing he bet on baseball was the last 7 years, the Angels under for wins.
Yeah. So he knows they're never going to the playoffs. So if you're taking that bet, any other baseball fan would also take that bet.
I mean, that's kind of the argument with the Pete Rose.
Maybe he just knows I'm that damn good, but it's not going to matter because my teammates are trash. I'm going to bet against the Angels.
But I'll
put up MVP numbers.
Even though we acknowledge now that Pete Rose bet on baseball, the apologists kind of say the same thing, right? Like, if he was betting on baseball, how is he the hit king? You know, he's out there playing his heart out. No, his nickname was fucking Charlie Hustle.
Right. I mean, his biggest downfall was during his manager's days.
Right. Because then he got more control over the lineup. But the point is, like, this is a guy that gave his all the time. And people are like, well, yeah, if he did bet on baseball, it was only for the team, for his team, which I don't buy. I just don't. And the whole thing with Shohei, I'm with you. Like, you got to let things settle. But if you had to predict if he's involved at all in a bad way, do you think when all the dust settles, he'll be on the good side or the bad side?
I'll tell you that whether it's true or not, this will be the fall guy, the interpreter. Shohei's not going to be touched. I'm telling you right now. He's the face of MLB.
It would ruin the league to a certain
degree. It's not going to change. Whether he's guilty or not, which I don't think he is, it's not going to be – he's not going to get any punishment at all from the league. That's my take right now.
So what you're saying is if discovered that he did have involvement, MLB would go to lengths to make sure it didn't fall on him.
Correct.
Okay. Biggie, your thoughts.
Sorry to give you my – I don't care if you bet on baseball or not. They all these guys out here, they're sponsored by FanDuel, and you're doing these different things, but they can't
bet.
It's
right in your face. You're right.
Yeah. But who cares? No, my question was, though, when all the dust settles, is he going to be held liable with anything, or is he going to be – no, it wasn't him at all. Is Shohei going to have to be found negligent of anything by the rules?
How are you going to find him negligent?
That's a big word.
And well, it makes me think of Chris Carter at the rookie symposium where he was talking to these guys.
You got
to
have a fall guy. You got to
have a fall guy. Shohei's fall guy is already in place. Like, it's all taken care of.
All right, so he's going to come out squeaky clean.
I mean, as squeaky clean as you can for a guy losing $4.5 million betting.
You know how insane it would be, though, if he signed this contract and deferred all that money? And this was his plan all along, was just to gamble with his endorsement money to try to, like, make all kinds of money.
Yeah.
Like, you can make movies out of this shit if that's what really happened.
Even if it's just the guy with an incredible problem and he just got in the wrong people. And you got the biggest baseball contract player in history as the man behind the scenes.
Now here's the thing, too. I mean, we're talking about culturally. Japanese baseball is considered the most disciplined baseball league in the world. And that's on and off the field. So that's what makes this even bigger is because he's already the face of MLB. He's a Japanese player who has the most cruel regiment for baseball players. And there's supposed to be discipline. And if this would come out, like, think about what would happen in Japan after this.
They would say, you rack a discipline.
They would be like, our program's not good enough, even though we already killed 18 players last year.
I mean, is it that harsh over there?
I'm telling you, Landon showed me, my son showed me a YouTube video of the training of the Japanese players. And if you would play and run like 18 miles in one day on a Saturday. And if you don't cry when you lose, you're a failure.
Man,
that's real shit.
They want to take over baseball.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's awesome though.
So, like, their high school programs, right? They'll have, like, 180 kids try out, and they stay within the program for 4 years for the high school, and only 25 of them get to make the team.
But if you, I mean, that's incredible.
They make them just do round robins and scrimmages, like, around the clock. Mm.
The thing is, like, we always talk about the NFL being a global sport and trying to, and MLB is, I think, doing a decent job trying. I mean, we can have a conversation about that here in a second. But, you know, I think
NFL is king everywhere else. But, for, you know, Asia has that draw to baseball.
And if it ever got that big and they got that many Japanese players and they wanted to, I mean, you can travel like that for baseball because of series. You know, you're not just there for a game and back, you know. If you wanted to take this game truly global, you could. So that would be cool if, like, some of these countries, because you had the opening series between the Dodgers and the Padres was in Korea.
Yeah.
And did you set your alignment?
It's kind of weird that they're doing that at the same time their spring training game.
Oh, I got a gripe about that. Let me get that out of the way first. Like, I think it is the most ridiculous thing that you can have the regular season start and there's still games going on. I mean, I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. I had to go look at, like, the standings. Because it would have reset, and I was like, nope, everybody's 0-0, and there's the Dodgers at 1-0. But yet, you know, the Reds have a doubleheader, you know, in Arizona. Like, that's ridiculous. I mean, I get you want to give a travel break to the team that's got to fly all the way over to Korea, but I think that's bad. You know, just start the season. Everybody can start. But I guess if you don't want to take the spotlight off of that, you know, trying to grow the game, be global.
I think it's complete bullshit because we're starting the game a week early for one team or two, one series for two teams.
A two-game series.
Right. And it's nonsense. And the fact is, everyone else starts on opening day. And that's the real national holiday. I get you want to grow the sport. Do that once the season starts. Yeah. Don't do it while before the season starts. I'm telling you, because it should be opening day. Everyone's flying over. Everyone's loving life. Kids are skipping school. They're eating $14 hot dogs. I mean, it is what it is. That's America. It should be a national holiday.
It used to be. That's what it felt like anyway.
But like, this shit and shit. Who set their alarm to wake up at 2 a.m.?
Yeah, did you?
No, I didn't watch any of it.
If you're on the west.
And the California residents were blacked out.
What?
Yes.
What do you mean they were blacked out?
The MLB Network for the coverage. They want to grow the game, and you're going to black out your California residents?
Figure, you tell me people on the West Coast couldn't watch this?
Listen to it on the radio, according to Cowherd. You listen to it on the radio at 5:55 a.m.
We're growing the game.
California time.
And California came to watch the damn game, so why not just do a traditional opening day for everybody?
Wow. That's terrible.
It is.
How do you mismanage it this way?
Like, who's in charge of these leagues?
This ain't the players' union making this happen this way, is it?
I feel like this is like local little leagues, you know? Like, this is MLB. And this is, how do you not think of this stuff?
Well, you have Ohtani, who's recognizable in so many different places. Why you wouldn't try to plaster him on ESPN right now? With the start of the March Madness, you would think ESPN, because all the games are on different networks. I guess they have the women's side of it, but why would you or MLB Network? Why wouldn't you have these games headlining, try to get some viewership? It's just very weird.
I mean, you can only do so much with the time zone, but still, you would think they don't. I mean, what do they do when the soccer games are going on? Like, even if it's that type of thing, there's networks that put that stuff on. You know, they still, even immigrants in our country that are from Morocco, you know, they're staying up till 3 a.m. to watch a match. Like, yeah. You know, so if the audience wants it, it's there. But how are you going to know if you don't turn the TV on to show them? You're going to keep it blacked out? I didn't know that. That's the most ignorant shit I've ever heard.
Go ahead, Biggie.
Well, I was thinking this, too, because we're just talking baseball, Ohtani. He fires his interpreter. Now, how do you interview him?
Wait. Did he fire them or did the Dodgers?
Maybe the Dodgers did.
Okay. I was making sure I understood that right.
Because I was reading this here about the game because I didn't watch either one of them. It said, after the game, they wanted to interview Ohtani to ask him why he had $4.5 million in wire transfers to a known bookie, but without current trusted representation. I guess means interpreter. No interview was conducted. So is that like going to be the thing?
Yeah, we can't ask Ohtani about it because there's not an interpreter here.
Yeah.
There's already one.
It's like Sammy Sosa. Now he doesn't speak English. Like, he didn't anyway, but
when he went to Capitol Hill there, is that what you're referencing? Mm-hmm. Oh, those are the days. Let's bring those 90s back. Everybody just gassed to the gills and hitting bombs 600 feet.
Like, I like, to go back to what you were talking about, the growing of the game. I was thinking when Seattle still had Ichiro, they went over to Japan and played a couple games kind of like this. But it was like the first two games of the season. It wasn't still when spring training was going on. It was like right at the end of spring training. And then I could actually watch them because it was Mariners. I could watch them when I got home from work. I get at Japan probably a lot different time set up, but it just seems like a missed opportunity.
They're both over there. I mean, you know what I mean? Korea and Japan's not that far apart.
Well, what was weird for me this year is I've only done fantasy leagues and, like, I've always done a lot of baseball, but I'm only doing pay leagues this year. So then my other two leagues I'm in, they've already drafted. So then I'm like, oh, shit, this sounds serious.
Your instincts have kicked in.
Like, you know what I mean? And it's, like, so, like, phony.
So we have our hardcore baseball draft Saturday.
Correct.
But
why wait till that Saturday?
Right. And I don't know.
Involved in that.
Well, you don't want to have spring training issues. Spring training goes up till the week before too. So the thing that got me though,
we
like
need those two games in our
we're recording here on a Thursday, and like this morning, it crossed my mind like, am I missing a baseball league or something? Like, are we already playing now? Because That's why I don't like how they have it split like that. It's so dumb.
Well, it's very weird because I'm in one of those leagues with Greg, and in the group message or whatever, it said, make sure you got your Dodgers and Padres in. And the time I looked at it, I was like, what is he talking about? And then I realized, oh, that game's already over.
Yeah, and I'm like, he's nice for me because I would have never sent that shit. It's every man for himself.
I'll take your money and charge you like a gold card.
I would never say that shit.
Oh, man. What about over in the series, what's the pitcher for the Dodgers?
Yamamoto.
He got roughed up today, son.
Didn't he get roughed up at the end of spring training, too?
Yeah, it ain't looking good. They signed this man like the biggest contract for a pitcher to never play in the major leagues.
And
he got this year.
And that's what you got. I heard that he tips pitches.
Yeah.
Is that the problem?
I don't know. Here's the problem. What's wrong?
I was going to eat that candy, but it was going to be really loud and distracting.
Oh, so, you like freaked me out. I thought it was like a pterodactyl.
That was just me being upset about not eating the candy.
Yeah. You eat away, buddy.
I might do that.
So, for the Dodgers rotation, you got Glass now. Oh, I feel like kind of like a man of glass. You got Yama.
As he always gets injured.
Yeah, Yama. What's his name? Soto? Yamamoto?
Yamamoto.
We don't know what we're getting from him. He's a rookie. Pitching over there and pitching in L.A. are two different things. They come in and watch the game in the fourth or fifth inning, but they do expect to win. And if Clayton Kershaw's not even come back till like, July. So
what about Buehler? Isn't he?
He's also, like, May or June.
Yeah.
Maybe late April for Buehler. But the thing is, their rotation's in shambles. I mean, they have Bobby Miller and, a few other guys, but I'm telling you.
Do you think that this will give them the potential for a slow start?
And I do, absolutely.
Are people just going to be eating them alive?
Well, and it don't help what Bet said. You know, this is your World Series when you play us now. But, I mean, I'm telling you, everybody has the Dodgers on their bullseye. I'm telling you. Dodgers are going to struggle out the gate.
Betts did back that up today. He had like five RBIs.
Six.
Damn.
Hey, still lost.
He's not on my fantasy team.
The Dodgers over under on FanDuel, I think, is 103.5 wins. So are they over or under?
That seems like a really good spot for that number to be at.
I'm going
to
go under.
I would take over.
If I were betting, I would go under because I think, like Greg was saying, they're going to get off to a bit of a slow start.
The rotation's in shambles, dude. Yeah.
I know, but
and
I feel like
their top three in their lineup's great, but after that, it falls off.
But I feel like eventually the rotation will get there. You know, by it's not how you start, it's how you finish. It's a marathon, but I could see the potential for it to get sideways real quick. But
I'm just saying, though, and I get that, but the fact is, if your rotation's that shitty early on, and you have 3 out of 9 that are great hitters in your lineup, I mean, it's not like you're going to win a ton of games.
I'm
going home, maybe.
You got to have pitching. I get
it. And I feel like, you know, between the Diamondbacks getting that taste last year, I feel like the Padres are better because they changed managers. The Giants getting Blake Snell at the end of spring training like they did. Everybody going for the Dodgers except for the Rockies.
The Rockies, we know our place.
As you're talking about the Dodgers needing pitching, I know it won't be them, but does anybody sign Trevor Bauer? Within the first,
I mean, it hasn't
like
happened
month
yet.
Of the season, or is it going to be a mid-season type deal if somebody's hurt, or
that there's something else at play here because it makes no sense.
So, any team will be lucky to have Trevor Bauer. He's showcasing himself. He done pitched against who did he pitch against?
The Yankees.
No, he pitched against the Dodgers already.
Okay,
and then he's going to be pitching against the Yankees for Team Mexico down there, a travel ball team in Mexico. He pitched against with a Korean team against the Dodgers while they were over there.
Really?
And he shut him out for 3 innings. Trevor Bauer. And
I believe that.
And he puts it on social media. I'm getting ready to face off against the Yankees down in Mexico. He's putting himself out there. And then when they're signing these other pitchers, Domingo German or however you say his last name, he just signed with the Pirates for $1.5 million. And then Trevor Bauer is mocking him on social media. Like putting laughing emojis because he's like, where the hell am I at? Because
he said he'd take league minimum.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I would love to have Trevor Bauer. I cannot believe for the life of me why the Cincinnati Reds haven't signed this man because he was a legend in Cincinnati.
I know.
That's what you all need with that young lineup. If you would get Trevor Bauer, I would give you Central right now.
You don't think he'd be a distraction?
Absolutely not.
So I don't
need it. It would fit right in.
How much of a distraction are you on a team that might win the Central? It's not like you're playing
right now. Right now, I got the Cubs. But if you sign Trevor Bauer, I would pick the Reds.
We got a lot of injuries right now. I hope they get it right. What's the potential blowback if you sign and like what's in reality really going to happen?
Nothing this year. He's on a prove it deal. Nothing will happen this year. He's baiting people to sign him for the long term. This year he's going to be a freaking angel.
Yep. So you sign him and it takes all the pressure off your young guys when you're going down. Everybody wants to interview Trevor Bauer. They don't care about Matty Ice McLean and freaking Eddie De La Cruz. So if you win the Central, exactly. And to what he said, he wants a long-term big money deal. He's not getting that this year, but if he shuts his mouth and goes out there and shows he's Cy Young caliber, then he gets it next year.
Take the team on a nice playoff run. He shows how nice he is to a team.
So why can't somebody take the risk?
I don't know.
Is there collusion?
Or is it going to happen imminently?
If I had to guess, I don't think anyone signs him.
The owner's pretty strong.
What do you think?
In the majors. And if they haven't signed him yet, I don't think that they're going to, because look at like the Scott Boras clients. The owners got together, I think, and said, all right, we're not doing this again. So what happens? It ends up coming till spring training. Now Snell signed, Montgomery's not signed. With Bauer, they've said, no, we're not allowing this type of thing to go on in our league.
It's clearly conclusion.
I'm concluding. It's conclusion. Hell yeah.
Anyways, my point is, every pitcher that's not signed yet is waiting out for big money. Trevor Bauer's already said, I'll play for the league minimum. So yep. It's collusion. That's it. Because he's clearly better than a number five. He's like a number three on most staffs.
And if there wasn't something like collusion going on, you can't tell me that the Braves wouldn't have signed him. The Yankees offered Snell a ton of money. He turned it down. Why wouldn't they sign him? Like, it don't make any sense.
Any team that tried to sign Snell and backed out could sign him, get almost the same results for league minimum.
And the potential maybe to even better.
I'm just telling you, like, if you told me if a team signed Trevor Bauer today and his numbers were comparable to Blake Snell, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I'd buy that easy. Because he didn't have a lot of wear and tear. He wasn't injury prone, really.
I love, though, when he was with the Reds and he would strike somebody out and he would do that shoulder strike.
He's always got the extra button undone.
Extra. I mean, he was good. He was good for
anything. Maybe he could teach Hunter Green a little control.
He was
Trevor Bauer
staff.
Was he with the Reds when he got pissed, got pulled, and got thrown over center field? That was
the team that no longer exists. Those that we not speak of in Cleveland.
The Indians. Okay.
Yeah, and he went to the Dodgers, and then he never came back.
Yeah.
After that deal. So how are you feeling about your Mariners, Piggy?
I think that we're going to have our fourth straight winning season, which is kind of weird to say, but we're not going to make the playoffs. I think we are a contender for the sixth spot, that last wild card spot, but definitely not for the division. We got too many question marks offensively. Pitching staff I love, although we lost some of the bullpen, but we traded a bunch of bats away because we had a lot of guys that hit 27 homers and hit 240, and we wanted to get more runners on base, that sort of thing. And it just – we're weak at third base. We're weak in an outfield spot. They brought back Haniger, who will hit you 30 home runs if he ever plays, which he doesn't.
I mean, I like you good enough to finish third.
Yeah. that's what I'm saying. I think it's the same thing as last year or the year before where – we're about third in the division. Maybe we're the last wild card. Anything above that would be beyond my wildest dreams.
Here's what's crazy, though. So we traded that big trade this offseason with Kalinic. You got two pitching prospects.
Oh, man.
And then both of your prospects are already out for Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
But Kalinic is struggling, and he's sucking ass pretty bad. Bad enough to where we got and signed Adam Duvall for a one-year, $3 million deal.
I love Duvall,
though. I know, but, like, that's a gimme deal. Like, if you can get that guy every day for $3 million for a year, you're taking it.
Yeah. He can your GM's all over
position,
it.
And the dude breaks when he's hot.
He's got potential to give you 30.
But, like, so they saw something in Kalinic that were like, he's definitely not hitting against lefties, and we're worried about him hitting against righties.
Yeah.
Adam, can you come back?
How highly touted was he as a prospect?
He was the number one prospect in baseball.
Number one.
So what I heard him talk about it.
What have the scouts missed?
We went and watched him play in Atlanta, and he was pretty good. They started cooling off. he had like 10 home runs in like one, like close to a month and a half last year, and was batting almost 300, and then he just tailed off.
Yeah, when he's hot, you can see why he was a top prospect, but he's still a little bit of a head case where he'll get in a slump. Last year in July, he ended up breaking his foot because he went into a slump, struck out, went in the dugout, kicked the water cooler, and it broke like a toe and a part of his foot. Like
a maroon.
Yeah. But not like defensively, you can put him anywhere in the outfield. He's great. He can steal bags, but he's a homer or nothing guy as a hitter right now. Maybe that's being an Atlanta now, will fix that.
Three outcome hitter.
What's that?
Three outcome hitter today's game. Home run, walk, and
what is that? Seven
strikeout.
70% of the players. Is that what you think?
Yeah.
It's not fun. I don't know. Although I do think the rule changes turned out to make the games pretty exciting.
I think it made it better for sure.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I know people don't want to hear that.
So I'm fine with letting it see it for one season. I mean, like, I'm not like, I am a traditionalist in many aspects, but like, let me see it for a season and I'll tell you what my true opinion is once I see it. I think that's fair.
Right.
You got to experience it. I would have liked to seen different, or maybe they changed it this year and I don't know. In the postseason, I would like to an extra 5 seconds on the
pitch. Bigger stakes, better time to do it. Yeah. I agree with that.
You make it longer during it because everybody who's going to watch is going to be watching.
Yep. But yeah, they're not. You go to a postseason game and you buy a ticket, you don't care if it goes 2 hours and a half or 3 hours and a half.
Look at that truck.
Big boy.
Dude, he's 6'9", 265. He plays like he's at the
He's giving us the scouting report on NC State and Texas Tech.
Yeah.
So we had our guest last week, and when it came to March Madness, he was all about the method of money line underdogs first round. And it said for the last 10 years, that's how it was. So Biggie, you threw some money down and tried that strategy.
I'm money ahead now.
We're still on day one and he's money ahead
Duquesne.
Oakland, baby.
Duquesne and Oakland.
Oregon. Kansas getting ready to lose, or did they lose? Oh, they haven't even started playing. Yeah, they're definitely losing.
Colin Samford's number.
Well, I can tell you he's not losing. It's Tennessee, pal.
No, they seem to be doing all right. That is not the St. Peter's of past. The pre-COVID St. Peter's or whatever it was.
So when you pick this, is it like there is a number where you start picking underdogs, or you picked even every one and two to lose?
You pick every
every game.
Because you're betting the 15. Because if 1-15 wins.
I got you.
So like the 14 seed. So like what Biggie's saying is he still has 16 games to go, and he can't lose any more money. He can only gain money. So any other underdogs that come in, and some of those are going to pay pretty good. Some of them are like plus 2,000.
Well, see, if you just look at today and you were to bet 16 games at $5 a piece, that's $80 in with Duquesne and St. Peter's winning. Michigan State was also a dog. Anyway, with only three of the 16 games today, you're money ahead. So everything else,
right?
It's just great.
Sounds like people are like, well, you can't predict the upset, but you don't have to predict them.
If you bet them all.
And it's like, how does Vegas not know this? Why doesn't everybody do this? It's basically been foolproof for at least 10 years. I have not checked to see further. But speaking of those upsets, we didn't start doing the show because we were so distracted by the Oakland upset of Kentucky and this elder statesman. What was his name? Golkey?
Jake or Jack? Yeah, I told Biggie.
Jack, but I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Golkey, I think.
Jack Golkey.
Dude, did they say hit 10 threes?
Yes.
Jack Golkey.
Jack.
He hit 10 threes and then hit two out of three on the foul line. So I'm assuming he finished with 32. But I said he had to be at least 27. And then we looked him up. He's only 23. So still, the hair was killing me.
Dude, looking at him, now I know who he reminds me of. When you were younger, if you watched Beverly Hills 90210, some of them looked young.
I definitely got an 80s vibe from him.
That's a great comparison. It's Luke Perry on a teenage show, and he's 31.
I looked at the dude, and I saw him as an underdog, but I also saw him as a villain.
He's like an
80s bad guy.
Like, he had a little bit of a Drago vibe to him, right?
If they die, they die.
The very square chin.
Rest in peace, Calipari.
that haircut was something.
Dude, they did a cutaway showing Calipari walking off the court, like the entire walk-off, like he was going to get freaking axed. He's Joe Pesci getting ready to go into a dark room or something.
Old dude there showing the end of these old coaches because they can't handle the new system.
That's what it is. That's why a lot of these guys are gone.
That is, though. He looking older and older, even though they whipped some ass today against Mississippi State. But Izzo looking old. And Calipari, man, none of these guys like to hang around anymore. The system's changed so much.
I mean, I was hearing, these are teams just local, like Marshall did make the tournament. And like on the radio this morning, they're like listing like 6 or 7 people that entered the transfer portal. You know, so like if you don't like they're already bailing on the program and they're out.
How do you transfer out of Marshall? You're in the NIT and you lost to Virginia Tech. Oh, time to go somewhere else.
I guess.
You overachieved, pal. Yeah.
But I mean, it does make it tough. Like we watched that Kentucky game and Trey Mitchell from West Virginia last year is there. And, you know, I'm not sad that they got bounced because I don't want you to have nice things. I'm petty, damn it.
And he left us when he fouled out too. So
he fouled out like a bitch. But could you describe Gokey's game?
I mean, I already said it was like he played like an 80s villain.
But it was no fear. I'm going to shoot.
He had some Gimmer Pradette in him.
No, even the coach said he's like basically an assassin. He's going to shoot. He proved that tonight. They're like, the dude missed an open three. He somehow gets the rebound back and fires it immediately, even like 3 steps further back and drills it.
Yeah.
No second thought.
That's why, like, early on, I saw just the way he shot around those screens, like, no chill, just send it.
He's like, just give me not even a second. Just give me a tiny bit of space and I'm firing.
And I was like, this guy's somebody. If the coach is giving him the green light on this,
well,
he might be somebody. And damn it, he was.
Some of the shots he took were like buzzer beater, beat the shot clock shots, but there were still like 18 seconds on the shot clock. He's like, I'm shooting against a double team fadeaway three here.
I mean, you know the sound like Rocky Balboa, fighters fight, right? Well, shooters shoot, baby.
Shoot.
We don't care how old you are.
Missed all the shots you don't take.
You ever see the movie when you're younger, The Mighty Ducks Part 2?
I have, but I don't care to revisit it.
There is. I'm going to take you there anyway. Don't ruin my vibe. But do you remember the knuckle puck?
I do.
The Iceland coach, he was just called the shooter. So every time somebody gets hot like that in my head, I'm just doing that line from the Mighty Ducks. The shooter! You got to get him, man. Iceland. Because they couldn't do Russia, I guess. They had to do Iceland.
Yeah. Then they had the Iceland assistant coach who hooks up with the American.
She was there. Sabotage. I didn't realize the Goodwill games were such a hotly contested thing when we were younger. I was not aware of their existence until that movie.
For a while, my fantasy football name, instead of Gordon Bombay, was Gordon Bongbay.
You're so clever.
And I just had a picture of Kelsey Grammer naked at a table with a bunch of weed in front of him.
That is a lot to
take in. While we hit hockey for the first time in ever,
that's how we hit
of our show. My favorite hockey movie ever is The Goon.
The Goon?
Yeah, with Stifler.
Sean William Scott. I was trying to think of his name.
Dude, it's nothing but
like, he's got range.
Brutal. Just beat down.
They don't make movies like that.
That's a good movie.
But you know what I mean? Like I know Wedding Crashers is like your favorite movie ever.
Yeah.
But we don't make comedies like that anymore. I was.
Even Goon's not really a comedy.
You are Iron Man. Did you know that?
I know.
Your jacket is Iron Man. It was distracting me. He's got a light on his jacket in case you get it is a fancy jacket.
It's here like this.
Oh, okay. So your Iron Man lights out. It was distracting me. I was looking at it. I was like, what? No, it's not out. He just pulled his zipper down low. He's showing his chest hair now.
Yeah.
Now I'm uncomfortable.
Look.
There's the scar.
No. This side has hair.
Yeah, and that side doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's so itchy.
Once I finally heals up, I'm going to trim this side to match the other side.
You got that way you don't feel unsymmetrical. He's like Jerry Seinfeld.
I was just going to say, you got to shave it all.
He's in the woods.
Go back and shave it all. That means I'll be like backtracking. Whoa. Let this side grow. This side can stay, and then I'll trim this side down to where it needs to be.
I'll just shave it all off one and let it grow back together.
That's stupid. This, it, you know, I don't want to get back to that itching period.
What happens if you pick the wrong setting and you go too long?
I've already research.
Do you know how many days it takes to meet the day of reckoning here?
17
days. Yeah. So you got some time to prep.
Yeah, I've already researched. Are we good, guys?
That's good. I'm glad you got that figured out. Yeah. So we were talking about the 80s villains thing. I splurged and watched a documentary last night that was just freaking wild. And I don't know if you've seen it or heard about it, but it's about the Nickelodeon kids. You know what I'm talking about?
Like the slime and shit.
It's blown up. Like everybody's talking about it because there's some crazy shit that came out on it, on this documentary. But it takes you down, like the people that made some of these late 90s and early 2000 shows. Like there was multiple like child predators and child rapists on the shows, like that were working as production assistants, that their job was to lead these kids around. And people wonder why, like, some of them went crazy. And they literally have one of them, like, just tell the whole story, just says it all, confesses everything for the first time in public. And, like, they have other people in this documentary didn't even know. They're like, that didn't happen on our show. And they're, like, hearing it now. It was insane. I mean, just, you know how you hear all the bad shit about Hollywood? You see something like this, and you're like,
well, they got to train them early at the kids' age.
It is nuts.
Nickelodeon feeds them to Hollywood.
they do. They're part of the machine.
Yeah. So Nickelodeon to Disney, and then you become an adult star.
Right. There you go. That's it.
Well, like, how many of them? You know, that's why I always went with Corey Feldman in our little death pool, because, like, child actors, like, they all, like, who's the exception? Who's the ones that made it out? Like, can you say that about Miley Cyrus?
Are they still alive?
Well, no, not alive.
You can say Miley.
Because some of them are alive and not doing well.
You can say Miley Cyrus for sure.
Yeah, but like Macaulay Culkin didn't make it.
I was just going to say he's alive, but I was proud of him.
But it was a hard life on him. It was hard.
It was.
I mean, is there anybody you can think of that made it besides Miley Cyrus?
Well, Leonardo DiCaprio was kind of like a child star.
He was. He was on Growing Pains.
Yeah, now he's like the stuff, so.
I guess. All right.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen's aged like a fine wine.
She has. True. And all she does is do cooking videos.
God bless her.
That's, you know, they said the reason why she didn't get jobs was because her face was too fat.
And then they put Jesse Spanos in Showgirls.
What's your thoughts on Showgirls?
So
is it a great cult classic? Is it so cheesy it's fun, or is it just the drizzling shits?
It's terrible. I want to say a line, but I'm being gun shy. I know it's from the movie, but I'm not gonna repeat it right now.
That's okay. I don't know. See, you are the quotable movie person.
I don't know, I'm like Yoda. Is that his name?
Like, I can't.
Random movie quotes?
No, because you get it in order. You're not messing the words up, but you have the knowledge.
Yoda would say it back to front, right?
Yeah.
No, I get it right.
But not Greg. He gets that shit on the... He's teaching Yoda. Yoda just can't keep up.
Yeah.
But I've seen Showgirls definitely a few times. Because
you was amazed that Jesse Spano made a movie like this.
Yeah, but like that pool scene is ridiculous. There's nothing reality about that stuff. And I don't even know... Like, is that a thing? The treacherous world of Showgirls? Is it? I mean, they made me feel it, I guess. But do you remember when they'd show it like on VH1 and they would do like the really crappy CGI to make her look like she was wearing clothes? Did you ever see that?
I have not.
It was so bad. You can just imagine VH1's production quality.
I can't believe it's still not a thing, though. It was really good.
What?
VH1's coverage.
Does anybody watch VH1 now?
No. No one has cable anymore.
Could you name one show that comes on VH1 right now?
I'm going to say Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Is Bret Michaels still doing dating shows?
I think so.
Did you like those back in the day?
I loved them.
Do you have a favorite celebrity reality show? Did you like a Hogan
Celebrity Death Match?
What the hell is that?
It was celebrity reality. Somebody died.
That wasn't really them, Biggie.
It was to me.
You know, I just found out this week that I don't know why Celebrity Death of the Match made me think of this because of MTV. I didn't realize that Theo Von was on
Real World.
You know what we're talking about?
No.
He's a goofy ass comedian that I don't know, he's like a crack baby or something.
Yeah. He's got that thing and he's my favorite marijuana was cocaine.
That's Theo Von. Yeah, he's I don't know,
over the top. Hey, he came to Mountain Health Arena not too long ago.
Is that the Huntington Civic Arena?
Yeah.
Have you seen the new baseball park down there?
I have not.
Because nice? I know you've been down that way working a little bit.
Yeah, I have, but I haven't seen it. I've heard that it's real nice.
Have you know anybody that's been down to the new Marshall University baseball park?
I don't know anybody, but it looks nice.
They got
all the photos.
They got creamed 15-0 by the Mountaineers today.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sounds like my son's high school team.
That was rough.
Yeah.
So did he play any?
Oh, no.
But Biggie, you were a little late getting here tonight because of high school baseball.
Dude, it's a game. I'm watching it. And like you go and, you know, hopefully your kid gets to play, whatever. Watching. And they are so bad that it's like, you always want your kids to do stuff, play sports. Watching that team play, I feel bad for those kids because, like, looking at just kicking their dicks. It was
20-0. Are they a good team, though?
So here's the problem I saw, and I only saw one game as well. Their pitching's god awful. They can't throw strikes. Their defense is god awful. There's no fundamentals. Like, even something as simple as the pitcher throws a wild pitch or the catcher has a pass ball. The pitcher is supposed to cover home when there's a runner on third.
Yep.
It was so bad up to the point where they probably allowed 4 runs in the game I was at because the pitcher simply wouldn't come home and cover home. Even though he knew he was supposed to, but his attitude was so bad and they didn't care.
There was a runner on third base with like 1 out. Wild pitch into home for ball 4. Catcher can't find the ball, stands behind home plate. Doesn't even go after it. It rolled down towards the third base dugout. Guy on third's like, yeah, okay, I'll walk in and take home. Because it was a pass ball, but I mean, you could be still in second. The guy going to first on a walk could take off, go to second. They had to start yelling at him from the stands to pick up the damn ball.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
He couldn't throw the ball to second base, so they just stole it every time.
How do kids...
Greg went the day before, and he told me they were really bad, but I thought, it's a home game. I'll go.
You guys are good parents for supporting your kids to go through this very heart-wrenching experience. Is it going to make them better on the other side?
Well, Landon hasn't had a JV game yet, so we'll see.
Okay. So maybe is there any potential the JV squad, the future, might have a little better chance?
Can't be much worse. Back to you, Bob.
I guess that's optimism for you. Got a lot to look forward to here. You guys can't suck any worse than the varsity team. And then they go out there and lose 19-0. This is terrible. Well, I think I'm ready to just watch the rest of March Madness here, but it's been fun hanging out with you guys this evening. And I know this is the most gambled week in all of sports, right? They do more in 7 days than any other single day or
the most gambled tournament or something like that.
Right. Like the Super Bowl is the biggest day, but March Madness combined for 7 days, even Super Bowl week doesn't touch it. So that's hopefully what everybody's doing. So we hope you enjoyed this episode of the We Don't Know Sports Podcast. Keep an eye on Shohei Saga, see how that plays out. But we'll see you next time. Have a great week and weekend. Bye-bye.